Now, this message today is not going to be one of those that you jump pews over. But if you get this message today, you will go home extremely excited about studying the Bible. And we as Free Will Baptists need to get a little bit more excited about the things of God. Free Will Baptists used to have a reputation for being a shouting people and for people that got excited about serving God and about worshiping God. And we've lost that. And I'm not saying you have to do that to serve God and to worship God, but folks, we've lost something when we lost that. We really did. And we're so afraid anymore. And by the way, this isn't even the message. This is a side note. But we're so afraid anymore of what my neighbor is going to say. I need to be so dignified. Well, get over it.
Amen.
You know, yeah, you won't go into heaven that way. I promise you. Some of you that don't get excited at all are going to do backflips into heaven. I promise you, you will. And you're just like, I'm going to use Wes for an example here real quick. When we found out Wes was okay, you should have seen Becky. The emergency room, she did backflips all the way around it. I'm kidding, but in her mind you were doing that, weren't you, Becky? We get excited about that stuff like that, but folks, we need to get excited about the Word of the Living God. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on today. If you remember a while back, I preached on how and why to study the Bible. And last week, I preached on being an overcomer. And if you'll remember, my main point was constantly remaining in the Word. And this message today, me and God fought over this all week long. And you say, well, why would you fight over it? I was like, God, how do we make a message out of that? And he said, just tell them what I tell you to tell them. I said, okay. God has a way of getting us in line, doesn't he? I said, okay, I'll do that. So everything today, and of course it always comes from God, but this one was after a week-long battle of finally sitting down and putting it down like God wants it. And here's the reason that this lesson, this message is so important today. Many people study the Bible, but since they don't study it properly, and since they don't study it thoroughly, and since they don't study it in depth, they walk away with a very shallow interpretation of the Bible, and many times have a misinterpretation of the Bible, and even more times they walk away confused about what they read in the Bible. So we're going to be talking today about why it is so important to have a deep study of the Bible. We're even going to talk more specifically about why it is crucial and why it is so vital to study the very specific words in the Bible to get their true meaning of the word. A lot of times we read over something and we really don't understand it, so we say, okay, I didn't understand that, but I'll go on. You're not going to understand the Word of God if you skip over the words. The words in the Hebrew and words in the Greek didn't always translate well into the English. We have to go back to the original language and find out exactly what those words meant. And I'm going to give you several examples of all that today. I'm going to be using several scriptures. I want you to turn with me to all the different scriptures today. I'm going to start off in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Going to be our text for today. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. A very familiar passage of scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, a couple of things I just want to point out on this at the beginning, and then we're going to get into the main part of this scripture. But even that word study, you know, we think we know what study means. I have studied the Bible for years. I was surprised to find out what the word study meant. I've never looked that word up till this week. It means to hasten and to be eager and to do whatever you have to do to show yourself well pleasing or approved unto God. Did you catch that? Hasten and be eager and do whatever you have to do. That's what it means to study. It doesn't mean a casual study. This is talking about a deep study of the Word. You invest time and you invest effort into it. And the reason that is so important is the Bible says that we are to be rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now, that's not a phrase we use in Bologna very often, is it? I don't remember asking any of you lately, have you rightly divided anything? And you'd probably look at me and go, Brother Greg, what are you talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. That word rightly dividing means having a proper understanding and to be skillful in teaching the Word of God. Having a proper understanding and skillfully teaching the Word of God, or the Word of truth, whichever way you want to call it. They're one and the same. And having a proper understanding only comes from a deeper study of the Word of God. And a deeper study of the Word of God leads you into getting into the meat of the Word. And getting into the meat of the Word leads you to a deeper understanding and a deeper revelation of the Word. And a deeper understanding and a deeper revelation of the Word lead you to rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now that's so important and so good, I want to reread that. Having a proper understanding comes only from a deeper study of the Word. So if you want a proper understanding, you're going to have to get into the Word in a deep way. And when you get into a deeper study of the Word, that leads to you getting into the meat of the Word of God. And when you get into the meat of the Word of God, that's going to lead you into a deeper understanding and a deeper revelation of the Word. And when you get a deeper understanding and a deeper revelation, then that's going to lead you to rightly dividing the Word of truth. So surely you can see why a deeper study is so crucial if we really want to understand the Bible. And I'm going to give you several examples today and show you why not only just a deeper study of the Bible, but a deeper study of specific words is so vitally important. And I want to tell you right now before we even get started that some of the things that I'm going to say may be controversial. But that's okay. It's God's Word. I'm going to substantiate everything I tell you right from God's Word. And here's the reason sometimes things are controversial. We'll hear a Sunday school teacher teach on something. Or we'll hear a preacher preach on something. And we will take it as absolute gospel truth and not go do our own study. I tell you folks frequently, go do your own study. Don't rely upon me solely to do your studying for you. I'm human. Once in a while, I may be wrong. And I like it when somebody comes to me and goes, Brother Greg, I want to talk to you about something you said the other day. I've actually been proven wrong. I know that's a shock to every one of you. But I have been. So go do your own study. But a lot of times we hear people preach on something and we'll take it as gospel truth. So the next time that it comes up, we think we know what the Scripture says about it because we took somebody else's word for it. And in many cases, we are way off track. And I'm going to show you two verses today that people get way off track. And folks, being off track when it comes to the Word of God is dangerous. It's dangerous. We have to rightly divide the Word of truth. So let's get into our examples. This first one is one that probably most everybody's heard of, and so I'm going to open up with it, and that is the word love. When they translated the word love from the Hebrew and from the Greek, we didn't have a whole lot of choices in the English language to really get the same meaning as they had. The Greek and Hebrew had three different meanings for the word love. And some people break it down to four, but we're going to break it down into three. The first one, one that most of us have all heard of, is the word agape. Agape means unconditional love for everybody. Unconditional love for everybody. That is agape. The second one is phileo. That is a brotherly type love. That is a love for those that are very close to you. Your close family, your close friends, your close associates. The third one is eros. This is a sexual type of love. It is where we get the word erotic. It is a lustful type love that's in the Bible. And yes, in the English, we do have some different words. We have the word love that we use very, very casually, way too casually, more than we should. We have the word affection, and we have the word lust. So we can kind of see how the different words are there. And folks, when we're studying the Bible, we need to know which kind of love a verse is talking about. Don't just read the word love and think you know what it means. If you're wrong, it can throw a completely horrible twist into a verse. Now, I'm going to give you an extreme example this morning. In a verse that we all know, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, don't answer this out loud, but what kind of love is that talking about? Well, it's got to be one of those three. It's either agape, phileo, or eros. And how do you know which kind it's talking about? Let's say that we were completely wrong, and for some reason we thought that was talking about an eros, the sexual type of love. That gets very awkward very fast. It would read like this: "For God has such a sexual love for the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Surely, from that one example, you can see why it is so crucial and so important that we have a proper understanding of the words. That's a horrible rendition of that verse, isn't it? But if we didn't understand which type of love it was talking about, we could get that misunderstanding. And folks, let me tell you this. I've already told you the only way that you can get a proper understanding is by going back to the original Hebrew or the original Greek. And you may say, "Well, Brother Greg, we haven't been to a Bible college. There's no way we can do that." You can do that for just a few dollars. There's two things you need in your Bible study library. You need a good Bible study Bible. And the second thing you need is a Strong's Concordance. If you don't have a Strong's Concordance, you really can't study the Bible the way you need to. Strong's Concordance goes back and breaks down every word to its root meaning. And I'm getting ready to show you here in a minute, it can make a big difference. So you need a good study Bible, and you need a Strong's Concordance. And if you do some Bible study on the internet, some of the Bible study websites actually have the Strong's Concordance in there. It gives you the King James Version with the Strong's numbers and takes you right to it. So you can even do it that way. But you need to take the time and the effort to go back to those words. Now, this next one is a classic example. I have heard this misinterpreted by more people than I think I could ever count in my life. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 5, Paul writes, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Now, what does that word moderation mean? It says, "Let your moderation be known." Well, if we're supposed to let our moderation be known, then we need to know what moderation is. And in our modern day English, most people think that moderation is observing reasonable limits. You're supposed to eat in moderation. You're supposed to exercise in moderation. And all these different things. But folks, in this verse, it does not even come close to meaning that. When you go back into the Strong's Concordance, it will tell you very clearly that that phrase or that word, moderation, means unselfishness, patience, kindness, and gentleness. I've heard people stand in the pulpit and preach, "The Bible says let everything be done in moderation." Well, it does, but what does that mean? It doesn't mean at all what they're trying to make it sound like it should mean. Let me reread that verse, because a proper understanding completely changes the meaning that we gather from that verse. And if we're supposed to be rightly dividing the word of truth, we need that proper understanding. We could read that verse this way. Let your unselfishness and your patience and your kindness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Doesn't that help make that a whole lot more sensible? It makes sense now, doesn't it? Before, when we say, let your moderation be known, it's kind of like, well, what's that got to do with anything? But when we understand the meaning of that word, and it's telling us that we're supposed to let our unselfishness and our patience and our kindness and our gentleness be known, what are those? Those are godly characters that shows people we are different from everybody else because we are exemplifying what God has told us to be like. So it gives the verse a whole lot more meaning. The third example, Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And this is one of those verses that we really don't understand it, and we don't quote it a lot for the simple reason we just don't understand it. And I don't remember how long ago it was. Sandy might remember. It's been 3 or 4 years ago. I actually preached an entire message on this verse. So we're not going to go into a lot of details on it. Just going to show you, again, that it's very important to know the meaning of these verses and of these words. Philippians 2, verse 6 says, who, and this is talking about Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He made himself of no reputation. What does that mean? And we read these verses and we just kind of skim over them. We need to dig. This verse is one of the most important verses in the entire Bible for us to learn how to walk a Christian walk. For us to live by the fruit of the Spirit. Because this verse means something completely different than most people think that it means. That phrase, no reputation, means Jesus completely emptied himself, or he completely stripped himself of all of his divine power and all of his divine ability before he came to earth. Now, let me tell you why that is so important. That is so important because Jesus came as a man to this earth to set the example for us to follow. Remember where he said, be ye imitators of me? Well, folks, if he was doing everything he was doing in divine power, we couldn't imitate him. It would be impossible for us to do what he did. But he set the example for us. Excuse me. We get our power the very same way Jesus got his power. Through prayer, through the study of the Scriptures, through fellowship with the Father, and through fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That is exactly how Jesus did everything he did on earth, because he came here completely stripped of his divine power. So let me reread those verses and input that new thought there. Starting in verse 2 again, it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but completely stripped himself of all of his divine power and all of his divine ability when he came to earth, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made with the same limitations as all other men. That's why Jesus can tell us to do the things he did. Because he set the example for us. And if we don't understand what it means when he says that he became of no reputation, then we won't understand that we can do what he did. But we can. The last illustration this morning. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Now before I read this, I'm going to warn you right up front. I have never looked up this verse before. I've never looked up the wording in this verse before this week. And folks, this is some of the strongest language you will find anywhere. Anywhere. When I revealed the true meaning of some of the words in this verse, I want to tell you up front, it may offend some of you. I'm not doing this to offend you. In fact, I'm not doing this. This is what God said. I'm just telling you what God said. And again, the translators did the very best that they could to translate it into English. But some things were just hard to translate. And so that's why studying and getting deep into the Word is so important. But it's Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." I preached on the fact that our righteousness is as filthy rags. You've heard me preach on that several times. I've heard different preachers that have preached on that. And what I want you to do right now, I want you to just get in your mind the most gross picture of filthy rags that you possibly can get. And we're not going to take the time and go around, but folks, I promise you, if I went around and asked each and every one of you individually, if you had the proper picture in your mind, the answer would be no. And here's why. The actual meaning of the word filthy rags, or that phrase, filthy rags, it means soiled sanitary napkins. That's a bold, harsh saying, isn't it? So when the writer here said that our righteousness is as filthy rags, he was saying our righteousness is as spoiled sanitary napkins. And you can go back into the Hebrew and look it up. That's exactly what it says. I dug so deep on that, I wanted to make sure I was absolutely right. But that gives us a much more vivid picture of how despicable our own righteousness is, doesn't it? That's why it's so vital that we understand the meanings of these words. Folks, the Bible will become much more alive. It has a much deeper meaning to us when we do the digging that we need to do. Even on your Sunday school lessons, don't casually read it. Study it. It is the Word of the living God. We need to have a thorough understanding of it where we can rightly divide the Word of truth. And yes, like I said earlier, sometimes we're going to be wrong. But I can promise you, the more diligent you are in your digging and the more thorough you are in your study, the fewer times you will be when you're wrong. And the more you get a deeper revelation, even the fewer times. I'm not nearly as wrong now as I was 20 years ago. Man, 20 years ago, I look back now and go, how stupid could I have been to have thought that meant that? But as I've studied and dug and dug and dug and dug and got more of a deeper revelation, I see more clearly now than I did 20 years ago. And guess what? 20 years from now, I'm going to have even a better revelation. I am not going to let up on my studying. I am going to be more intense than ever, because this is the Word of the living God, and I and you are commanded to rightly divide it, to have a proper understanding, and to be skillful in our teaching. And that's what this message today is all about, is me skillfully teaching you how to rightly divide the Word of truth. And I understand that it's been different. I have no doubt that you probably never heard a message quite like this. I don't know that I've ever heard one myself quite like this. But God never wasted any any space on the words. Even over in Psalms, every once in a while, you'll see where it says Selah, S-E-L-A-H, however you say that. That's a powerful word. I used to just read over that and go on. But when you see that word, it means stop and think about what I just said. So we need to do what? We need to stop and think about what he just said. God didn't say, oh, I need one more word in there. I'll just throw Selah in there. He put it in there to tell us to stop and think about it. So the words, every individual word is so important. And we need to rightly divide the word of truth so that, first of all, that we will have a proper understanding. Second of all, so that we can teach it properly. And third of all, so that we can stand before God just like a workman. And work, now think about that. Studying is work. I am more tired after studying than I am after anything else I do. But we need to study so we can stand before God as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We got to work at it. Casual study won't do if you really want to understand the Bible. I want you to think back. Like I said earlier, last week I preached on constantly remaining in the Word. And folks, if we're going to do that, let's put out the extra effort and the extra time that it takes to study the Word of God and study the specific words in the Word of God to really get the meaning of God's Word. And I tell you that there's people out there that I greatly admire that have studied the Hebrew and the Greek in depth. And I have some of those that come to me on email every day, and I read it, and I'm like, oh, thank you, God, for giving these people such a great talent and such a great revelation that they can really tell us that the true meanings of these words. It's almost every week I learn something and say, oh, I didn't think about it that way. I had a misunderstanding of what that word meant. And so I praise God for sending us people that have that ability. But again, we have to do our own study to really get the true meaning. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before you, and I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that we have your word in written form where we can sit down and where we can read it and where we can study it and where we can meditate upon it. And Father, where we can digest it and where we can get into it and dig for the nuggets of gold that you have for us. And I pray this morning, Father, that you would give us a brand new passion for your word, a brand new desire to sit down with just your word and a piece of paper and a pen and our Strong's Concordance and our other study guides and to study your word that we might be able to rightly divide the word of truth, that we could have a proper understanding and that we could teach it skillfully and that we could stand before you completely unashamed because we put in the work and the effort you've asked us to do. And I just ask you to speak to our hearts this morning, Father. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.